OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Hello, this is Bradley Martin with the Screener Squad, and I have the publisher of Picard, Paloma, with me.
Hey.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. We're going to be talking about The Outsider, a Stephen King adaptation, which I believe was also a teleplay.
It was a novel.
A novel, thank you.
Originally.
And you've been reading the novel, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of like, a little bit like halfway through, but I'm as we're going through all isolation, I'm listening to the audiobook right now.
Audiobooks? I love audiobooks myself.
I am a big audiobook fan.
You use audible.com?
I do.
I don't know if we're allowed to say that. Anyways.
Oh, maybe. Well, I listen to that.
We'll see.
Maybe, I don't know.
We'll see if it gets edited out.
Yeah.
So, if you can, give us a brief synopsis of this chilling, horrific Stephen King thriller.
Yes. So, Detective Ralph Anderson suspects, or you know, has a lot of good evidence that the public, you know, coach with the baseball team, and I think also the basketball team, Terry Maitland, has kind of killed and rape this young boy, and so he goes to arrest him, but he finds out slowly that something's going to add up. Terry seems to be in two places at once, both in the hometown, but also in this kind of conference for teachers and literary conference, and it's all about him and a bunch of other people trying to figure out exactly what's going on, and there seems to be some sort of maybe monstrous figure that's going around her killing children, but taking on other people's identities and looking like somebody else.
If you're a child in a small town in a Stephen King story, your number will be up pretty soon, and that's very
sad. You're pretty much screwed
because no one is safe under 12 in a Stephen King story.
No, unless you're an it, and then you're semi-safe
as long as you have the power of friendship.
That's true. As long as you have the power of friendship. And then after that, when you grow up, you have to come back and beat the monster for real.
Yep. All no holds bar, name calling fight. Now, we got another small town story here, just as you said. I don't know what Stephen King has against small towns. I know he lives in Maine. So I'm hoping he's not writing true to life experiences here, but I was very creeped out by the overall vibe of this little community. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, it seems to be at least, beginning kind of like this very cheerful town, the way it's all set up is everybody seems very kind of, there's a lot of quietness and a lot of, kind of gray. I feel like the tone is very kind of gray, bluish tone, the color of the show. And, the vibe is very kind of set very creepy, and you're not sure what's like, everything's just kind of uncanny. And the way they do it is very kind of quietness that kind of really kind of creeps you out.
No, absolutely. There's something always lurking in the way this is filmed. A lot of shots kind of look like, the detective is approaching the crime scene. But some of them have that eerie feeling of, wait, is this the audience's point of view of this crime scene? Or is this detective being watched? It's very unsettling and a lot of like, ugh. Kind of a awkward color palette. I know Jason Bateman, who, did I get that name right?
Yeah, it's Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman, Arrested Development fame. He directs some of these episodes, and you can kind of tell he's got, bringing his talent from the Ozarks with that eerie, everyone's out to get ya, or are they, type of directing in the episodes he's done.
And it was also Terry Maitland, and
absolutely,
which did a really good job at. I have to say that, of course he's a very different character, but I think you have kind of that vibe of this ordinary, everyday man who's kind of stuck in this kind of nightmare.
Exactly.
It's a very good job portraying that character in both shows.
Now, we are respectfully going to be spoiler-free. These questions, I am not giving away the answer to any of them, but I need to ask you, did you suspect or feel that Terry was innocent?
I will have to say that at the very beginning, I wasn't sure. And then I kind of slowly, then kind of went back and forth to saying maybe he seems like he was, and then kind of slowly as the show goes on, I was like, no, he isn't. But I wouldn't, say why. But yeah. But first, I kind of was, I'm always unsure with the Stephen King novel, because there's even a Stephen King adaptation, you're never really sure who's guilty and who's innocent.
Right. Because someone in a Stephen King novel is always guilty of something.
And also, I couldn't tell yet if it was, I wouldn't say it to give too much away, if it was a,
sure.
Because Stephen King writes two different novels, either one that's kind of supernatural and one that's kind of like the real monsters, the human monsters. So I couldn't tell what he was doing yet. The beginning.
Yeah, like the bullies in It, as opposed to Pennywise the Clown, which one is actually more terrifying to a child,
Yeah.
He's got a real knack for that. I enjoy a lot of his stories. But yes.
Me too.
Me right away, I gotta say, lock him up. He's a baseball league coach, I totally jumped on the mob's bandwagon. I feel a little guilty about that. But
well, he was, the way they painted it, it seemed to be, the way they set everything up, it seems very clear. The beginning.
Right. And here's where the mystery gets in. There's actual evidence, proof, not second-guessed proof or some lawyer term for it, arbitrary, but facts that this man, or rather someone who looks just like this man, Terry Maitland.
With the same blood type.
Yeah, the same blood type, the same fingerprints, the same everything that they have evidence for was in two places at the exact same time.
Yes, and plus I think they have four or five witnesses as well.
Yeah, from both places.
They have a little kid, they have a woman, they have two women, and one older woman, one who's a taxi driver.
Mm-hmm. And of course, one of those locations was a strip club, and the other was some kind of PTA meeting for the library. So we got 30 or 40 eyes on him in both locations. So how could he have done this, or how could he have not done this crime? And that's where our mystery starts, and we find out what exactly is really going on in this town. What did you?
I think it really draws you in, kind of right away. And I think that I also really love the actor. I think his name is Ben Mendelsohn, who played Detective Ralph Anderson. Mm-hmm. He was just from the very beginning. You really were kind of drawn to his perspective and kind of trying to figure out exactly what he's thinking, and he's very logical, and he's kind of the guy who's doesn't really take any graph, and he's the one who's kind of the facts lead him. And I think the way they kind of do it is he's kind of a really great leader for you, because he's always hesitant to believe, which makes you kind of believe even more sometimes.
Well, I really enjoyed the themes of that in this whole series. Usually when there's a ghost story, we'll say, or a monster mash, or just any crime type of drama, the skeptic is the asshole who needs to get over himself. This TV series doesn't play it that way. It actually makes Ben Mendelsohn, who's very much a skeptic about certain things he's told as the mystery progresses. He's this skeptic, but man, I had a really pretty big bleeding heart for this guy, because his past...
Yeah.
Is so fascinating how he continues to serve and protect as this detective at all after what he's been through is astonishing. And he's what I would call the Stephen King hero archetype, where they have so much baggage, but their shoulders are strong, their backs are straight, and they've been carrying it for such a long time. And a part of me towards the middle of this series, Paloma, I was like, it's okay. You could put down that baggage and just go home. I wouldn't be mad if that's how this ended. But you know, that's not very exciting. So the show must go on.
And you have to give him a hug. I don't want to give too much away, but this is the very beginning, so I don't feel like I'm giving too much away. But in the novel version, Ralph Anderson's son is very much alive.
Oh, wow.
And so I feel like, and then in the show, they have him where he's died of cancer, I think a couple years ago, it seems like, maybe a year ago or two. And I think that by adding him and his death, it makes everything so much more heightened, and so much his skepticism and his kind of anger towards the coach and everything like that even more real and more poignant.
Yeah. because
a lot more suspense as well.
Exactly, his son was on the.
He's not a broken man. Maybe that's the wrong word. But he's somebody who's very much been kind of messed with, and somebody who's very much like emotionally raw.
Oh, of course. And that's where the perfect casting comes in. Ben Mendelsohn. If you want to show someone who's lived a tortured life but just doesn't want to talk about it, you only have to film this guy's face for like 10 seconds, and you as an audience will be like, oh, I get it. Yeah, that's a tortured soul.
I'm just looking. I don't know if I've seen him in anything else, but he does seem kind of familiar.
He was Krennic in Rogue One, not one of his better roles, but he's got a ton of swagger. And I say it all the time. He's the best dressed Star Wars character, hands down, not even close.
That's true. Yeah, he was also in, I guess, in Farscape for an episode, which is very cool. But yeah, he's been in a couple of stuff. This is, I think, I haven't seen all of it, but I think this might be one of his best roles, though, because he was so amazing.
I believe he got his Emmy for another Netflix series where his co-star was Kyle Chandler, and that was called Bloodlines.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So I'd recommend that to anybody who hasn't seen it. Also a very slow burn, so maybe not for everyone, but I think the payoff is pretty fantastic, at least season one. Now, speaking of our cast here, this show does a full 180, in my opinion, and really drives us into crazy mad psycho town when beautiful, stunning, and incredibly talented actress Cynthia Erivo's character shows up, Holly Gibney. Why don't you give us Holly's story, since you got the book and the show.
This is actually, I was telling you this earlier, this is actually the one who was originally from, in the book version, is originally from this series called the Secret Keeper, the Mr. Mercedes series. And so they kind of changed their background. But anyway, she's an African-American kind of private eye. She has some kind of psychic power, some kind of ways of being connections to other world. But anyways, she's very good at solving puzzles and figuring out crimes, and she really kind of delves deep into things and gets very obsessed with them. She has maybe Asperger's or some kind of other, at least in the other things she does. I don't know if they changed that here. She's very kind of just like travel. She has a lot of rules, but she really is very passionate about the case and kind of is the one who really kind of figures out what's really going on, where nobody else really believes her.
Yeah, she's got a lot of fun social tics, a lot of cool little quirks. I'd say she plays the spectrum very well. I know a lot of TV shows aren't ready yet to introduce the spectrum into their scripts, you know, and that's okay, baby steps. But I think she's just fantastic, especially when she and Ben Mendelsohn share a screen, because she's trying to give him what she, in her heart and her knowledge, are facts. But to Ben Mendelsohn, the straight-shooting sheriff who uses evidence, and the evidence is two people can't be in the same place as once, you know, that's impossible. Very skeptic, and when they butt heads, it's so much fun to watch, because these are two A-class actors, you know, going at it and chomping on a very spooky, creepy King, you know, adaptation. Yeah. So I enjoyed that the most about this show.
I also kind of loved how, even when they kind of butted heads, they both were, it was very, both in a very respectful manner, and Holly was just so opened that she kind of, even though she was like, you know, if you're going to be more part of this, you're going to have to start kind of believing. She's still like kind of very understanding and very much like, I get why you feel this way, but this is just like the reality, which I kind of liked how they were both very kind to one another.
Yeah. Because deep down behind those tortured eyes, Ralph, the sheriff, played by Ben there.
Yeah.
He is a very kind man, and you could even say empathetic and compassionate. Now, Cynthia Erivo playing Holly. Holly, do you think the outsider, that title is referring to her, since she doesn't fit in anywhere? Like, she's always kind of like a pariah?
I think she might. I feel like it might do that, because I think she's somebody who everybody wants to kind of use and everyone's used references to, but then they kind of, like, she doesn't quite fit anywhere. So everybody kind of wants her to eventually kind of go away. So yeah, I think she might be the outsider. I think that is very cool. I hope she is. That's what it means to me, because I think she's somebody who kind of comes into this town and really kind of shows everybody what's going on, and she's the only one who's really kind of separated, and she's the one who's coming in with true kind of open eyes and true kind of logic, because there's nothing for her. She has no kind of, everybody has like skin in the game, and she has no skin in the game, just figuring out the truth.
Right. She just wants to help people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that we get more Holly Gibney stories, whether it's a sequel or a prequel series. I don't know. You'll have to watch to see if she makes it out alive.
Well, it's not the same. Yeah, it's not. Also, for people who like this character, even though it is slightly different, if you check out the Mr. Mercedes series, that's a 18 teasers, but you can get some of the seasons on Amazon. There's a character that's basically the same character, but just, you know, a different book. It was one of the books, which was like Holly Gibney's, who's also kind of similar characteristics to this Holly. And she's also kind of a really great detective as well. And it's about this, that show is more about her learning how to be a detective.
No, very cool. I love this character. I might check that out. Now, we have a bunch of side plots in the air, as most of these miniseries do. You know, I believe it's 10 episodes. Could have been 6, in my opinion, but let's take a bite out of some of these side plots. You have Terry's wife, who the whole time stuck by his side, you know, saying, he didn't do it. My husband's innocent. Everyone thinks I'm a total disgusting person for standing by my husband. My daughters are being mistreated. That's Gloria Maitland is her name, and she's played by Julianne Nicholson. What did you think of this side story? How would you describe it? Does it work, or is it just filler?
I think it really works. I think that she's sort of somebody who, even though she's kind of a bit part of the detective or the crime solving, she's really kind of her own. She's kind of really dealing with the emotional, setback of, her husband being arrested. I won't say too much more than that. And she's really trying to be strong for her girls, but she's still kind of, basically very angry. And I feel like her raw emotions and her kind of trying to deal with all of this kind of supernatural, but also trying to I wouldn't say, grieve her husband's kind of the loss of her reputation in the town, the loss of her statue and those of her kids being hurt. But I think that whole family unit really brought a lot of emotions to the series and made everything seem more real, because these are people who were affected by what happened. And other people are still being affected, but not as much as, this family. The Maitland family.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's a very strong performance as well. You don't get to see many... And yeah, I'll call out Hollywood. I love doing that. You don't get to see strong mothers and wives a lot of the time in TV shows, unless they're going on a vengeance trip or unless they're recently divorced. So seeing her get to protect her kids with almost a righteous anger against this kind of shitty town was very cool. I really liked how she let the detectives who were kind of looking into it further, like, oops, maybe he's innocent, we'd like to look into it further. She wasn't like a fainting, oh, thank you. But like, yeah, like I've been saying, asshole, this whole time, and you're wanting me to help you now that you need a favor, you think that he could be innocent? And Julianne Nicholson, of course, plays it much more nuanced than that. The performances all around in this are just outstanding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love Jeannie Anderson, who plays Ralph Anderson's wife, performed by Mara Wingham. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. But I think her relationship and her kind of, even though she's not a detective, her kind of working with the case and her kind of believing what's going on faster than her husband does, and also her relationship with Glory is also something really powerful. Because he meets with her on the same kind of level. With some mothers who've lost something. Exactly. And also somebody who just wants to help. And somebody who's not kind of connected to the whole, miscarriage of justice thing. So he's kind of more willing to listen to her and be with her than, her husband.
Because she can connect with her empathetically. And Glory knows that she's not being, for lack of a better word, a tool about it. That they actually
She's very compassionate. Exactly.
Now, that was one of my mother-in-law's favorite characters. She's been watching this actress for a long time, and she's right. My mother-in-law, that is. She was also great. Now, my favorite villainous performance, we'll say, and it's very straightforward, the series, so I wouldn't consider this a spoiler, was, let me get his name here, Mark Menchaca, sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong, plays this character called Jack Hoskins, who seems to be an advocate of, I'll just say, misery in this series. And he's fighting against the urges to do bad, but seems to have this strange warped purpose to bring about, we'll just say, pain and strife. What did you think of his performance and this character? Did this storyline work for you?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I feel like there was a lot of mystery. Like, at first, you're not sure exactly what's going on, and then slowly and slowly you're realizing what's exactly happening as you kind of figure out what kind of is causing these, all these, who's really killing these children. And I think that I feel like what's great about him as a villain is he's very wounded. And you kind of, at first, you kind of sympathize with him and think there's something else going on. So when you find out what's really the truth, what the truth is, you're like, you kind of, you still feel bad for him. You're like, you want him to be stopped. You're like, this guy has really been trapped in this position. And he's trying to be a good guy, but with all this stuff happening, he's so wounded and so dark that this force can take over him. And I think the actor was amazing. I guess he's also in Ozarks.
Yeah.
So Jason Bateman must have known him from that. But I think he was really incredible. I think he seemed like maybe one of the heroes, and then slowly he figured he's not. But I think the way they did that was brilliant, because it's good to have a villain that you can sympathize with. Then the other villain that you could have had was also, you could really make a villain or see something visible on screen so much.
I absolutely agree. Once again, I agree with you. I think this will be one of the snubs when Emmy stuff is passed around. A lot of character actors I can see being snubbed from this. Very disappointing. But the work does speak for itself.
I hope they win something, but it is something that I also think might be, you know, kind of go to the wayside with all the other stuff that's kind of coming out around now.
Oh, or maybe everything will get canceled and this will be one of the only things. We'll see.
I mean, I really hope that Ben Mendelsohn gets nominated for Best Actor for you know, either a TV show or for a miniseries.
No, I can agree with that as well. Yeah, there's a lot of competition even within this own cast.
Oh, yeah, there's some amazing. I mean, Cynthia Erivo also should definitely be nominated. You know, if she's not, I'll be very surprised if she doesn't at least get a nomination.
Yeah, I'll totally agree with you. I'm getting kind of excited. We are way away, far away from that season. So let's close
That's
out with...
That's true. Well, we can look forward to things.
Exactly.
Things we look forward to.
I did want to talk about the prosthetics, the violence, the gore. Too much, not enough.
What else is, you know, with horror? That's what you want. You want some gore.
Okay. Well, how did you feel about it? Too much, not enough, or just right?
I think it was just right. I think the kind of show this is, if there was too much gore, it wouldn't really work, because it's all about what you don't see.
Yes.
And I think it's also kind of nice with TV shows, especially with horror, they kind of rely so much on gore, and this one's really about the mystery, kind of about what's hidden when you kind of barely see the monster. And I kind of, you know, I'm saying metaphorically for this one, but so I think that the way they did the gore thing was really right on. And then everything, it also with children, you don't want to show too much.
Yes.
When it's kids being killed or kids being injured.
No, especially with how Stephen King describes it in his work. Yeah, he does not go easy on little Georgie in the written version of it. Well, neither did
the
adaptation.
That was a tough one to even read.
Yeah, that was a hard watch and a very hard read. Yeah. Oh, boy. I agree. I think the gore is just right. I will admit I turned away a bit because something about, I'll just say, an infection gives me the heebie-jeebies, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there was... Actually, a silent jump scare in this series. A couple of episodes in, and that's when I was like big time hooked. I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to watch it to the end. It involves the barn. I don't know if you remember it, but I actually jumped out of my seat when it happened.
Oh yeah, no, and it's just something that I think that the violence that they did have, I think, was kind of right on, and you really kind of felt it. So it's kind of good. They kind of built up to the point when there was an episode that had violence, so there was a lot of it. So I think it kind of worked. So I think if you had seen violence throughout, like a lot of violence throughout, it wouldn't work as well. We wouldn't be so affected by it.
No, absolutely. Now, everyone gets on Stephen King's back about his quote-unquote not-so-good endings. I don't know if you finished the book yet, but speaking of the TV series, how'd you feel? Does this deliver? Is it just okay? Or is it another flop ending from the King department?
I mean, I... Again, I actually usually like his endings, which maybe I'm really kind of unusual that way, but I think this ending felt really good because it was an ending that I think, while it was satisfying to some level, it was also dissatisfying, which I think is perfect because with this kind of crime, this kind of, you know, I don't want to use too many words, so I'm careful, but I think that it's good that you're kind of like, this is, you know, I'm happy this happened, like, you know, but at the same time, like, you're not totally, like, satisfied because you don't really know if what happened, you know, if everything's really gone. So I think that it was, I mean, I enjoyed the ending, but I'm trying to talk around and stuff, so I know I'm not saying too much, but.
No, and I appreciate that. You're being very considerate to our listeners who haven't seen it. For me, this penultimate episode is great. So already it set the bar way too high for me to really give the ending a 10 out of 10. You know, I was a little let down, but that always happens. That happened every year with Game of Thrones for me, because Game of Thrones is known for having absolutely incredible penultimate episodes. This one had me on the edge of my seat. And it eases into a, this is what's going on, this is our conclusion. And I wouldn't say I was let down. I had a lot of fun watching this with my family. Not my kids, of course. My wife and mother-in-law.
No, you don't want to say this to the children.
No, not at all. This is not a kid show in any respects. And if you have kids, this might be a very hard watch for you. I was cringing during a lot of the, we have to investigate this child killer type of discussions. It's a hard watch, but it's,
and I just say the way they worked in the why it was a child murder, I think was very fascinating.
No, I agree.
It made kind of sense. I feel like what, I mean, without saying too much, I think what Stephen King likes about putting children in danger, which I think is very fascinating, because he's also a father, but is that there is a sort of innocence, but also sort of bravery to children, which we kind of lose when we become adults.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I think that's a really good theme that King has used in the past also.
Yeah.
Now.
That's what makes the kids so special, is the fact that they have this sort of really big belief in things, but at the same time, they can really put, they've been through so much, they can kind of put a brave front. So though actually children are really that much of the main characters, it's all really adults. So this one doesn't really have that quite, but.
No, yeah, definitely. Well, we're giving King all the credit here. It says the creator is Richard Price. I don't have any of the writing information with me.
I'm looking up because I'm curious what else he's also a novelist. Interesting.
Cool.
He's a novelist and a screenwriter.
That's it. Yeah, that is interesting because many novelists have a hard time. Oh, he's a writer on The Wire. I'm not surprised there. That's another slow burn masterpiece.
Oh yeah, that was a brilliant, and also. So I think, I mean, this one, you don't really think of it this way, but there's a really great dialogue in this as well, which The Wire is known for. And also, he was also the involved in The Deuce. I don't know if you ever saw that, but it just ended recently on HBO. And also The Night Of. So he likes doing crime, true crime stuff.
No, and I agree with you on the dialogue. There is my two favorite dialogue sequences. I'm not going to share any of the dialogue, of course. Don't worry, everybody. It's a incident between Holly and Ralph, while they're, you know, driving in their car, working out their differences, and he kind of gives her an inch, and she takes a mile, and it's very cute. The show's not without humor either. There's a lot of fun sequences between characters. A very dark show, but it's not without humor, I'll say that. And Jason Bateman, once again, you know, I think he's a comedic genius, personally. I use that term a lot. My apologies. But the drama, there's the sequence he has where he's telling the detective Ralph about his history as a baseball coach. And I actually welled up and sobbed by the end of it. What a performance.
Oh, I agree. I think the scenes between those two during the interrogations were really, really impressive, because you both had people with very kind of, with deep convictions of what's real and what's right. And they kind of meet in the middle, and they're kind of, and the fighting is about, you know, is very kind of powerful, but it's also like, you also see these two men who really care about what's going on and what they do for a living.
Exactly. Well, we head into our final thoughts. I can start, because I really like, I think you'll knock this out of the park with a finish here, Paloma. I really liked this a lot. I enjoyed watching this type of mystery thriller monster feature question mark with my beautiful wife and wonderful mother-in-law. This very creepy. I like that it's a mixture of a crime procedural with just uncanny valley crap, like you said earlier. Stuff that even I was skeptical throughout this whole series. And you can be skeptical at the end of it. That's what makes it so interesting. I do think it has a bit of problems, like I said earlier. Maybe this could have been 6 episodes, maybe 7. But I really wouldn't want to sacrifice many performances, so it's tough to say. Very excited to see what Cynthia Erivo is doing next. I think this might be the first thing I've seen her in. Loved it. Ben Mendelsohn, big fan, knocks it out of the park as always, throws the touchdown, mixing up sports allegories. And I think I'm at that point where I'll check out anything that Jason Bateman is into or a part of, because he seems to be on some kind of a magic roll right now where everything he touches is golden. I just talked about Zootopia with Mindy on our last review. And then we have The Ozark, which is coming back, which everyone is so freaking thrilled about. Arrested Development, which is a cult favorite in my family. And now this, the guy is like a golden goose. I say keep on honking. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 bedtime stories about monsters.
Well, I will say that I also went up first before we can echo, you know, Jason Bateman's praise. I think that it shows you that if you're a comedic genius, you can also do drama really well. And it's all kind of, you know, he kind of, you can really know emotions and you can really build up that. But yeah, no, I'm a big Stephen King fan. And so I was very excited to begin with, though I was also kind of, you know, aware that sometimes there are some Stephen King adaptations that aren't so good. So I knew it wasn't, you know, guaranteed of anything, but I think that I really loved the way it was filmed. I loved the vibe, the tone, the pacing. I think all the performances were spot on. I think it felt very much like a Stephen, you know, singing story, but it also felt like something that was, you know, original and new. I really loved, you know, I loved the suspense. I loved the way they created the horror. I think horror can be something that's kind of too out there and too sort of in the, you know, in your face. But I think this one, the fear was really internal and really was about us as human beings, even though there were some, you know, supernatural elements. Though I won't say too much more than that. I would give, and I really, you know, this was one of my favorite Stephen King shows. I think that it really makes you think, which I think is the best, what makes you kind of freak out and what makes you really kind of fearful in Stephen King stuff. So I think that's really amazing. And I think that the way the actors were kind of bounce off each other, I think really built even more powerful performances than on their own. Everybody was on check, and there was nobody, I think, that, you know, I was like, what is this person doing there? Or, you know, they're not doing any believable job. Even the guest stars, the people who were in like one episode or two, were still amazing. I would probably give this a 9 out of 10. Let's see. 9 out of 10.
Yeah, don't get creepy now.
Nine out of ten. Mysterious books, but which you won't understand until you see it.
Very good. Don't go into dark places, but perhaps the darkest place of all is inside us.
Exactly.